Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com. Okay.
Tonight, each and every show, we teed up with our pals from Talk Radio News. None better than the former congressman from Ohio, Bob Ney. And I guarantee Bob was glued to this news conference today, because it really was a news conference, even though Hillary called it. Because finally, we got some answers about these emails, and people cannot get enough of this story. So, Bob, first of all, what did you think of what she had to say at the press conference?
Well, by the way, Kate, I was glued 5 days ago. I've been waiting for this. Lanny Davis, who I do personally know, I happen to know he really encouraged her to get out there and say something. You know, he works for President Clinton. But I thought she did okay. She just really should have gotten out front on this thing personally, not Twittering, not a statement, but out front on it. Now, the Republicans under Congressman Gowdy, they said, well, you know, we want access to her private emails. We want access to her private server. So they're going to dog this issue, but they really don't have the right to have that access. But I've got to tell you, she waited so long. It's making people think, well, what was there? You know, why did she wait this amount of time? So this has got some legs.
Yeah, you know, it's so strange, too. She said that it was the convenience of not having to use two personal devices while she was Secretary of State. She said, and I love this part, she said, you know, looking back, it would have been better if I had simply used a second email account and carried a second phone. But at the time, this just didn't seem like an issue. What was very strange about this, and I guess it's because, like you said, the encouragement, you know, Davis telling her to get out there and other people, I'm sure, she was, like, constantly reading from notes. And I mean, it was like sharks. There was so much media there. It looked like, it looked like Super Bowl media day. It was crazy how many people were screaming things at her and leaning in, although I'm not shocked by that. And here was the other key thing. She kept saying she followed all federal rules and regulations and that every email message related to official business was preserved and turned over to the government. And as you said, you know, asking for the emails, here's the thing, Gowdy asking for the emails. I mean, that's going to take months to go through that, isn't it?
Oh, months and months. And, you know, members of Congress won't tell you this. I'm a former member, but no member of Congress has to turn over one single email to one single constituent, by the way. I mean, they are cloaked tighter than Fort Knox. So, you know, the congressmen are like, you got to turn yours over. Well, you don't if you're in Congress, that's for sure. And you can use a private email to do your business. So I just find it kind of ironic, but the executive rules are different. But I must say, and I am not a Hillary basher by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm sitting there going, wow, you know, she lives in a different era.
Yeah.
People are starting to tell their age, in a sense, people like myself. You know, I'll be 61. I lived in a different era. And I would have answered the same way. Well, you know, I should have used two, but I like having one email, you know, just the way it goes. And, yes, it was like sharks in the water. Plus, I'm sorry, but when she says, you know, there's communication between me and Bill Clinton on there, her husband, then people are really wanting to know what's going on there.
Boy, no kidding. Does this help Senator Elizabeth Warren, who some people are really pressing to get into the race? Because we just assume Hillary's got it, that, you know, this is hers to take if she officially runs, which we know she wants to do desperately. I mean, how much does this hurt her in the race for the White House?
Well, in the general election, I argue it doesn't hurt her at all. First of all, Jeb Bush turned over only what he had to, and let's see his private email system, you know.
Yeah.
Scott Walker is under some type of legal problem with his emails. So in the general election, if it's Walker or Bush, which I think it'll be one of the two, she doesn't have a problem. This vanishes. But right now, she has a problem. If Elizabeth Warren would say, okay, I'm running, woo. Then Hillary Clinton cannot make one more mistake. Now, one saving grace she has, the Republicans, if they take her to that committee, which they said they're going to do twice, once for the emails and once for Benghazi, I mean, Benghazi's dead and buried. The issue, you know, the political side of it is finished, but they're trying to breathe life into it. So here's Hillary Clinton in emails. But if they bring her and they just beat up on her because she is Hillary Clinton, a Democratic person running for the White House, I think she scores points if the Republicans do that. But wow. If Elizabeth Warren would announce today she's running, wow.
That'd be crazy. Yeah, be crazy, wouldn't it? And then two women running against each other on the Democratic side would be also, I think, something that people would talk about. All right, this, I'm sure you were chomping at the bit to talk about this. What was the scoop with the 47 Republican senators on Monday? They sent an open letter addressed to the leaders of the Islamic Republic of Iran, and they declare that any nuclear agreement with President Obama could be reversed by the next president. They're saying that by the stroke of the pen. So, hey, go with that, but you know what? That could be reversed. So was this just going after Obama? Was this just saying, listen, no more of this? Is this that whole executive action or behind our back or you're not using Congress kind of thing?
Oh, this was outrageous. I mean, I sympathize with Joe Biden, and just for purposes of disclosure, I was involved in third-party talks with Biden, his staff, et cetera, over the years on the Iran issue for both the Clinton administration and the Bush administration. And I also lived in Iran in 1978. So, you know, I've got a lot of different opinions on it. However, looking at this issue, this would be comparable if, in fact, George Bush was thinking about invading Iraq at the time, and the Republicans wrote a letter to Saddam Hussein and said, don't worry about any of this because, you know, we might have a new president in 2 years. So, you know, what he does is not going to really be effective. It's outrageous, Kate, what they have done. They've actually, by the way, helped President Obama because the 47 Republicans are in tune with the ultra-right-wing conservative theocratic mullahs that don't want a deal, that want to continue to go towards the bomb. So that's, they don't differ, the 47 of them.
Wow.
Outrageous, though, to do this. Seriously, I don't care who the president is, to take this unprecedented step is absolutely outrageous. And, of course, look, Senator Cotton, what's he do within 24 hours? He's in a private, off-the-record meeting with the biggest weapon manufacturers on the face of the earth. That's what he's doing, by the way.
Oh, yeah, and there was no disclosure
on
that.
Can you talk fundraisers? Can you talk fundraisers?
Yeah, that's a big fundraiser, no doubt. I mean, it's, you know, it's so fascinating what's happening and how this is all moving into the direction of 2016. I mean, it seems like we're light years away from it, but actually we're really not when in the world of politics. And, you know,
right.
You talked about Jeb Bush at the top and the emails and what he, you know, what about his personal emails and what he would disclose. You and I have talked about this before, but I just find it so incredibly fascinating, everything that I've read and what I know from covering the Bushes and the Clintons myself. Is it really going to come down to Hillary Clinton and Jeb Bush, Bob? I mean, you've done these campaigns. You've seen it. What do you think?
Oh, I think that's the deal. It's going to be Hillary Clinton and Jeb Bush, and you've got Jeb Bush, who just right now looks so lazy. I mean, he looks so unattached, and he's doing the same old blah, blah, blah. And friends of mine get mad at me, and they say, well, why don't you pick on the Clintons versus the Bushes? How come the Bushes are in worse shape? I said it's because, you know, the Clintons have a little bit more Teflon than the Bushes have. But I think it might boil down to Clinton versus Bush. I really honestly do.
Yeah, I still do, too. I still think that's what's going to happen. All right, always fun with you, Bob. Thanks for coming on. Bye-bye. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for enterprise, or is our monetary unit, we call the Federal Reserve Note, forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. BlockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Attention listeners, SurvivalLife.com is giving away free EverStrike permanent matches for a limited time only. These matches are waterproof and will light in any weather condition, rain, snow, or sleet. It will still throw a spark. Its built-in ferro rod strikes at 3,000 degrees, and it is good for 15,000 strikes. Normally, $15. Today, it's free. Get yours at freewaterproofmatch.com. Again, that's freewaterproofmatch.com. Hurry, supplies are limited. Visit freewaterproofmatch.com today.
We've been talking about this a lot on America Tonight. In fact, I say it all the time. I always say it's power to the people. And, you know, I grew up in Philadelphia and I live in Texas and I'm married to a Texan. And boy, when I hear his family talk about their frustrations with what we've seen, and you know how I feel because I'm from that whole Tom Jefferson deal of how about some state rights? How about less federal power? How about more responsibility across the board? So this is the perfect thing for us to tackle. The Texas State Legislature is actually considering a resolution and has a hearing in Texas this Thursday on state and federal power and responsibility. And, you know, when we look at the Convention of States project, this is all about that, the federal government's overreach and why the Convention of States project, as we have talked about to a few people already, is important to Texas and how other states are actually peeking in and looking at this. So we have Rita Dunaway with us, who is on, you know, is part of the staff council. And Rita, obviously this is near and dear to you, this Convention of States project. Flush it out for us as to why this you think this is an effective way to restore the republic.
Absolutely. Well, this is the tool, the Convention of States, provided in Article 5 of the Constitution. It is the tool that our founding fathers left to the states to restrain federal power. George Mason predicted when they were drafting the Constitution in 1787, he predicted that one day the federal government would become too powerful and the people would need a recourse. They would need a way to restrain federal power. So at George Mason's insistence, they added this process into Article 5 that gives a way for the states to come together. If 34 states call for a convention of states, the states can come together and propose amendments on an agreed topic. And so what our project is doing, the Convention of States Project, we are getting these applications filed across the country for a Convention of States to propose amendments that limit the scope, power, and jurisdiction of the federal government. And the important thing to keep in mind about the process, too, is it's an amendment proposing convention. Any amendments that get proposed there then get submitted back to the state, and they only become effective if they're ratified by 38 states. And I think, from what I see around the country, the people are ready to do this. We are ready to take our power and our liberty back.
Yeah, do you think this has just become such the tipping point, everything that we're seeing, the gridlock, the constant groundhog day on so many issues coming out of Washington, and do you think that's why now more people are embracing this idea?
Yes, I do. You know, we have a real problem in America, obviously. But the thing is, it's not just that we have one or two laws here and there that need to be changed. The problem is that our written constitution, the operating manual for our government, has been superseded and replaced effectively by activist judges who have time and again approved of federal power grabs. And this is the way to repair the structure, not just to add new laws or repeal some regulations, but to actually fix the structure so that our federal system works again.
Why do you think that there's some, you know, when we talk about, you know, the Article 5 convention, why do you think that there's sort of this crazy mystery that surrounds it, and why is there such a pushback to label people that believe in this, you know, this tool, as you said, that George Mason made sure was there? Do you think it's just that people don't understand it, or it's to the advantage of people in the federal government to just try to bury that as quickly as they can?
Yeah, I think both things are at play. You know, fear is a powerful emotion. I think it is unfitting, you know, for a patriotic American to be motivated by fear, you know, motivated into inaction, basically. That certainly was not the attitude of our forefathers. And we are here today having this conversation because they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to secure for us the right to be a self-governing people. And, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of misinformation. It's like I heard someone use the phrase recently of a zombie argument, you know, that it's been defeated time and time again, but it's still, you know, walking around causing trouble. The zombie argument that our Constitution is the result of this illicit runaway convention in 1787, which is absolutely not true. People can find information, all kinds of information about that on our website. But it's unfortunate because it is time for us to take action. We cannot continue to bury our heads in the sand and complain to our friends and think that we will be able to continue to pass on a legacy of liberty to our kids and our grandkids. It's time for us to take action and use this tool that the founders left us.
Yeah, and by the way, in talking about that, you can forget about Republican, Democrat. We're talking about something completely different, because sometimes I've had people throw that argument back on me. That has nothing to do with it. I think it's what has happened in the federal government versus what we're seeing now across the states, in Texas, obviously, but, you know, because there's this rallying cry. But you mentioned it. You see that, and I said it, because I've seen it through the emails and people that call. There are other people that are interested in seeing this happen and waiting to see what happens with Texas. You have to be pretty anxious for Thursday. What do you think comes out of Thursday?
I am very excited about Thursday. The Texas resolution, House Joint Resolution 77, will be heard, as you mentioned. And I'm confident that it's going to pass and that Texas is going to get this done. I know former Senator Tom Coburn was there a couple of weeks ago to testify, and one of the things I know he said definitely speaks to the point you made a minute ago. He said, the Constitution is for every American. This is not about liberal or conservative, Republican or Democrat. This is about restoring the structure that our founders gave us, replacing and restoring the limits on federal power that were built into the Constitution but have been perverted and twisted over several decades. We have to do that, and I think Texas is going to really step up here and help lead the way to get this done.
Yeah, when it first started out and there was, you know, everything starts out like this sort of grassroots, did you see it grow quickly?
Yes, and I can tell you, I personally have traveled, I'm in Virginia, and I personally have traveled Virginia to try to educate the grassroots about this effort, answer their questions, respond to the rumors and conspiracy theories. And I can tell you that what I see firsthand is that when people understand that there is a tool in our beloved Constitution that was left for us to use in the very situation we are in today, and they see that it is a workable and well-conceived plan and a strategy that can restore a republic, they are excited. And all they want to know is how they can get involved and help get this done.
Yeah. I mean, here's a question that I've gotten before because of the power we're talking about of the federal government. But I agree with you. I think we can no longer bury our heads in the sand. I say that every single show that I do. Could Congress, if they wanted to, use the power they have and block a convention of states?
No, they really can't. I mean, it's clear from history that the whole purpose of this convention mechanism being put into Article 5 was to provide a way for the states to bypass Congress. So Congress really has no say in it. The only duty Congress has under this part of Article 5 is to issue the formal call for the convention, and that just means setting the time and place for the convention of state delegates to meet. That is all Congress does. It's a ministerial duty that the court would very easily compel Congress to do if Congress for some reason did not do it. And then at the end of the convention, if any amendments do get proposed there, then Congress gets to choose between the two ratification methods outlined in Article 5. But that's it. It's very clear, and the founders were very wise to give us this process.
Yeah, I sure agree with that, absolutely. Rita Dunaway, thanks so much for coming on the show. We'll wait and see what happens on Thursday in Texas.
Thanks for having me.
The freeze-dry guy, leader in the preparedness industry for 44 years, is closing his California warehouse. Don't miss out on this huge warehouse sale and receive discounts from 30 to 40% off on the finest Mountain House and Packaway brand freeze-dried and dehydrated foods for long-term food storage or even everyday use. Plus deep discounts on all in-stock survival gear. The freeze-dry guy is offering a wide selection of freeze-dried foods in number 10 cans and even individually packaged entrees. Remember, meats, vegetables, fruits, and long-range patrol rations are the main components for any long-term food storage. This is limited to stock on hand, so hurry and call 866-404-3663 or 530-798-4414. Remember, as always, free shipping to the lower 48 states. So hurry up and call 866-404-3663 or 530-798-4414. Remember, this is limited to stock on hand. The freeze-dry guy is your choice for survival food in an uncertain world.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories.
But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey Guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey Guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey Guy.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
There's still so much fascination over the firestorm Hillary Clinton is facing because of the emails. So Hillary Clinton, I was kind of surprised by this, but it has been a week. She jumped in front of the microphones, and it was crazy how much media was there. But she hasn't even done a press conference in 2 years. And, of course, we all know she's the presumptive nominee for the Democrats in the race for president in 2016. So she was at the United Nations. I mean, that's where she was. That's where they did the press conference. And on that note, many of you had some observations about it, so let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
This first one is from Jake in Austin, and Jake says, Kate, Hillary Clinton looked terrible. She looked exhausted. I mean, I'm not really a Clinton basher, not a fan, just really don't have much of an opinion on Hillary Clinton, but I do have to say she looked a little wrecked to me, and she certainly is being peppered with a lot of questions and saying that she should have perhaps had two separate emails, and, you know, if she, that's what she would have done, and then said that she followed the federal rules, and you could talk to anybody about it, and they can tell you what the federal rules are, and that she was releasing the emails, and, you know, that kind of stuff. I don't know. I wonder if she's really up for a run for president anyway, and I'll say it again, I'm not a basher of Hillary Clinton. I really don't have any feeling either way. What do you think? Well, it's, you know, this is going to keep coming back. Anything is going to nip at your heels. Anything you do when you're running for a political office now, I don't care, Republican or Democrat, if you have any kind of a pressure point, and especially Hillary Clinton, because of the whole email thing, absolutely, she's going to get pressed about this. And once they say, okay, we're releasing the emails, I think that's what you'll stick with. Hey, we follow the rules that we knew them to be, and we release the emails, and yada yada, which is pretty much what she said in her press conference at the United Nations. All right, let's move to another one. This one from Butch, who's not like Jake, and says, Kate, I can't stand Hillary Clinton, and I think she has just shot herself in the foot by this whole email deal and not doing a very good job when she decided to address it. She kept looking down at the papers, and she seemed like she really didn't want to be there, but that's typical Hillary Clinton. And she kept saying that she chose to keep her private and personal emails that weren't federal records. So, you know, she's kind of defended the whole thing, but she hasn't defended it well. She hasn't done a good job as far as that's concerned. And I say that everything should be released. And she's saying that people can look at her emails, whatever they want. You know, it's funny you say that she said people can look at her emails. Because she said she chose to keep her private personal emails, you know, just to keep them. Because she said the emails were planning Chelsea's wedding or her mother's funeral arrangements or condolences or notes to friends, yoga routines, family vacations, and things that you would typically find in an inbox. And she said, I didn't really see any reason to keep them. So, I mean, that was that. And there were just, I don't know, I think she just raised more questions and just continued to not help herself with that press conference, and she had to do it. But, I don't know, it just didn't come off good. This is 8 days after the New York Times reported that she had just one personal email account as Secretary of State, and that she prevented the documents from being released for nearly 2 years, because it was the two-year system. You know, some people are saying, well, let's just get the server. Can't she just have the server from her New York house? That would be fine. Why can't they do that? So, I don't know. She's trying to turn a page on this, but even some prominent liberals are smashing Clinton over the head for using a personal email address. I mean, this isn't even a labeling thing, because I mean, everybody's questioning the deal, and it's not going to go away quickly. It's going to be a thorn in her side in running, but I don't know if it tanks her. I mean, I don't know if it tanks her from the Democratic nomination. I'll tell you what, this is one situation. If she ends up for sure being their candidate, if she ends up being the Democratic candidate, right, that's who it comes down to, that running mate to me becomes really important. I mean, really important, whoever it is. And one of the people being talked about is Castro, because, of course, the young Hispanic up-and-comer, the whole thing. And then this just might be his entree or somebody else, because they've got to get somebody that has some warmth, can address anything, is good with spin in the sense that they know how to talk to people no matter what the question is. Let's put it that way. All right, this is interesting. We actually had two emails. I'll just do one of them. This one from Judy, who said, Kate, did you see what happened in Los Angeles with Robin Thicke and his partner having to pay $7 million plus, the jury saying that they had stolen from a song from Marvin Gaye? I listened to the songs next to each other, and I thought it was wild that it was, you know, this was a copyright infringement thing, but they say they're going to figure out what they're going to do next. The jury of the five women and three men heard a lot of different opinions, but ultimately, I think, from what I saw in the news, when they played the two songs, they sounded so similar that they decided that Pharrell Williams and Robin Thicke had lifted something from Marvin Gaye. What do you think? You know, it's funny you say that, because I tuned in, and I was flipping around, and I tuned in and saw that. I saw them coming out of the Los Angeles courthouse, and Marvin Gaye's song was Gotta Give It Up, and it does sound similar. There's lines that are similar in it. And then I saw an interview with Robin Thicke where he said, oh, I love Marvin Gaye, and he was such an inspiration, and da-da-da-da-da. So the song made, their song made 16 million. And now 7.4 million. I mean, this is huge for the music industry because this is copyright laws. I mean, there's copyright laws that are commonplace. And most of these suits, though, never even get to trial. This was a jury trial. So this is big. And also, if I'm not mistaken, especially because of the high profiles of the people that we're talking about. I mean, remember you had the dispute between Tom Petty and Sam Smith over Stay With Me? But this is even much more different than that. And I think it affects the way songs are written or how are people influenced. And, you know, do you have songs running around in your head? Imagine if you're a songwriter and you have influences. Are you unconsciously lifting some things or no, that was a conscious deal? And there have been other challenges, certainly, that we've seen before. Lots of challenges to other music. Right? There was Bob Marley's No Woman, No Cry, Michael Jackson's Man in the Mirror. There have been lots of challenges, but to get this far and to have that happen on Gotta Give It Up, and then the differences between Blurred Lines, pretty interesting. And I bet if we went through and thought about it, and some of you are probably thinking of some songs now, there are other songs and other music that we could point to that you'd see a similar problem with them. Let's just put it that way. All right, let's move in a different direction. This one is from Bob in Illinois. He's become like Jake in Austin. I love it. You guys emailing me all the time. I need to hear your voices. You need to call the show because I want to hear the voice because of all the emails I get from you. Okay, so Bob says, Kate, I cannot Dan, one more minute of listening to this whole Jokar Tsarnaev stuff coming out of Boston. Today they showed the boat that he was hiding in and the things that he had scribbled on the boat. I saw pictures of it. They said it was a key piece of evidence. I think it's a crying shame if Tsarnaev is not put to death in Boston because, listen, this guy knew what he was doing. You could see it when the second bomb went off that he planted. And look at all those people who lost limbs and had their lives completely changed. And how about an 8-year-old little boy? And how about 3 people being killed? And really 4 if he wanted to add the police officer to that. So I think he needs to be nailed to the wall. I'm sorry. One of the things that we did see that came out of the scrawlings on the wall of the boat was he had written, "We Muslims are one body, you hurt one, you hurt all." The prosecutor said it was kind of like his manifesto and showed that he wanted to hurt somebody, that he wanted to harm people. And so just to reiterate this, you know, there was 2 nail-packed pressure cooker bombs that exploded, that killed 3 people, that hurt 260 people. And some of the people whose lives were altered, they were there. They sat in the courtroom. They were glaring at him. They were looking at him. They, you know, there were people who lost limbs that were crying in the courtroom. He and his brother, with their sick, twisted pressure cooker bombs, forever altered so many lives. The issue, though, and what the jury is going to hear was Tsarnaev a terrorist looking to punish the U.S. for what he thought was harmful to Muslims, or is he an idiot stoner who was just following his big brother's lead and became sort of radicalized because of him? I mean, either way, I don't care the answer to that question. I think he needs to go away for a very, very long time. All right, thanks so much. I appreciate all the emails you send. If you are listening and you have something that you want to talk about, send it to me, americatonight.net. Remember, 24/7, you can send it to me. We check the email every single day. And we'll be back with more in just a minute here on America Tonight.
What good is a big Berkey water filter? We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
I'm really glad my buddy Mark turned me on to GunsAD.com. I got to tell you, I didn't want to buy any more firearms. I didn't want a paperwork trail headed back to Big Brother. I want 100% privacy. I want to be an invisible gun owner. Hello? So Mark says, hey, you know, GunsAD.com, Ghost AR-15. Ghost means invisible. Get it? Ghost AR-15. GunsAD.com. I got a couple, if you know what I mean. Go to GunsAD.com or call 844-2GUNS80.
By now, you've heard about Bitcoins, but did you know that over 65,000 businesses accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co, because at BidBit.co, you can receive Bitcoin by selling your personal items or business products. You heard right, whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your products quickly, easily, and securely at BidBit.co. That's BidBit.co. BidBit.co.
A book. I can't tell you how many times when I've been in New York, when I've been in Dallas, when I've been wherever I've been, and some of you have called this show and there's nooks and crannies out there across America, and you've talked about books, how much you love books, and boy, wouldn't you love to write a book. How would you like to be in the book business? In this edition of For Your Business, Millie Brown, the founder of Brown Books Publishing Group in Dallas, is with us, and boy, she really set the publishing world on fire, and she did it with something that I love, a lot of chutzpah, as the story goes. And Millie right now is in our virtual green room. So, Millie, thanks so much for coming on. We appreciate it.
It is a pleasure. Thank you for asking me.
So, first of all, tell me about your desire to start your own company. Well, how'd you go down that road?
Okay, I really never had a desire to be in publishing. I hate to burst that bubble. it was happenstance, and I am probably the stereotypical entrepreneur. I had another company. In 1990, I started a company called Personal Profiles doing family histories because I was getting at a point in life where people were starting to pass away, and I realized if one story was not written down, that it was destined to be forgotten. So I was doing these beautiful heirloom books, leather-bound, and I started getting phone calls from people, and they would say, I saw the book that you did for my granddad. Can you help me with the book? Because I've written a self-help book, or I have a children's book, and I, quite frankly, you know, that wasn't what I did, and that wasn't what I wanted to do. So I thought, well, let me check. I don't know anything about publishing. Let me see what I can find out, and I'll give them a referral. So back in 1990, you had to get out the yellow pages, and you let your fingers do the walking, and I had to start calling around because you couldn't Google. And I started investigating this thing they called publishing, and I was absolutely blown away. It was, to me, in my humble opinion, it was a very dysfunctional business model because as an entrepreneur, I understand the value of intellectual property. And in traditional publishing, if somebody had intellectual property, to get it published, they had to sell their rights. And then I saw the contracts. The contracts I thought were egregious. So the authors didn't make any money. They gave up all their rights, gave up all their control. And so I, you know what they say, you find a need and you fill it. So I started helping people and I thought, you know, I can just help a person here or there have a book. And so innocently, I started just with a couple of books, and then two people told four people, and four people told eight people. And the next thing I knew, I thought, I think I need to form another company here because these are not family histories. So in 1994, I incorporated Brown Books Publishing Group, and I trademarked a new era in publishing because I decided that I was going to have a different business model. It was not going to be the traditional business model. I was I coined the term relationship publishing. I understood how important it was to value the author, to collaborate with the author, that you put those two synergies together. Here you have a passionate author, and if you can get a passionate publisher and you put those two together, sparks fly. And so I started publishing books, but you know, the upshot of it was I started helping people have books, but I really wasn't a publisher just yet. So when the books would be printed, I gave them to my authors, and then I thought they knew what to do with them, and they would go out, and it never failed. A month later, they'd call me back, and they'd say, Millie, what more can I do? And that's when I had the major epiphany, and I realized authors do not need books. Authors need a publisher. They need someone who's in the industry, who understands the industry, that has the contacts, and knows what to do with those books, knows how to get them sold. And so I thought I'm going to have to jump in with both feet, and I did, and I learned the industry from the ground up. But my business model was not welcomed with open arms, to say the very least, and the big boys in New York I don't want to say they had a vested interest in seeing that I wasn't successful, but they really did. Because now, if you flash forward to today, the publishing landscape has changed. And I have my business model. We just celebrated our 20th anniversary. So not only have I survived, but I've thrived. I've been throughout the horrible recession we just had, and I just opened a new, matter of fact, 2 weeks ago, we just launched a PR agency because now without PR, without promotions, how's somebody going to find out about the book? So now I have a publishing company and a PR agency to promote the authors. So it's just, that's 20 years in about 2 minutes.
Yeah, I love that. 2 minutes. That was 2 minutes. So here's the thing. So you, as you said, things have changed in the publishing business, but do you think it's, in some ways, is it more exciting now?
As much as I hated the elitism, you know, all those years ago, because the big publishers really just looked at authors as content providers, and there were a lot of gatekeepers. But you know, today there's, with the advent of self-publishing, and I have to tell you, self-publishing is my that's probably my biggest pet peeve in publishing today, because anybody and everybody thinks, oh, I don't need a publisher. I can just go and find an editor, and anybody and everybody will volunteer to edit my book. I mean, it could be the church, the lady that edits the church newsletter, mm-hmm. and she says, oh, I'm an editor, and she edits the book. And then any printer will take your money and give you a book. But it's almost like where I started 20 years ago with people. Yes, you're going to have a book, but then what are you going to do with it? And the chances of you having a good book are almost slim to none. I have a perverse hobby. I actually collect bad self-published books. But I mean, seriously, if you go to my website, I have a section called Extreme Publishing Makeovers for all these people who come to me because they went out there and thought, ah, how hard can this publishing thing be? And they published their own book. It never went anywhere because it was terrible. And they, you know, had to come and start all over again. And, you know, that just, you know, if you're, you know, I'm from the old school. If you're going to do something, do it right or don't do it at all.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite? I mean, this is a tough one, but do you have a favorite all-time author that you've worked with, or a couple of books that you really love?
God. Oh my God! Oh my God! That's like your favorite child, you know. I have one that's come back into the fold after over 12 years. It's a book called "Getting Rich with Integrity: The Spirituality of Success." Getting Rich with Integrity, and Vinnie Roazzi is. Matter of fact, when we had our 20th anniversary, he lives in Philadelphia. He flew to Dallas. I had people coming in from all over the world to celebrate our 20th. Anniversary with us, and he came in, he wore a tux, and he was so handsome, and I gave him an award for, he sold, let me see, his book sold in 28 countries.
Wow.
And he is now back with two more books, and we're going to pull Spirituality of Success out of mothballs. We're going to update it and get it back out. So he comes to mind because I just talked to him the other day, but it's a phenomenal book, and 12 years ago, I didn't have all the firepower that I have today, and I was thinking, oh my God, if his book was so successful all those years ago, what I could do for it today. So,
yeah.
So, yes. So,
no kidding. I love that story. Do you, you know, it's funny because we have Kindles and Nooks and all of that, and I know people read that way, but I got to tell you, Millie, I like the feel of a book in my hand. How do you feel about that?
You know, it really got on my nerves for so many years, for the last couple of years anyway, you know, for a while there. People were saying to me constantly, well, our book's going to be going away, or we, you know, and it was like, oh, with the, well, that, you know, I don't want to say it was a conspiracy, but, you know, the people that were cranking out all the readers had a vested interest in making you feel like you were the dumbest person on the planet if you didn't read your book on some sort of a handheld device, some sort of a reader. Electronic device. And, you know, I remember a couple Christmases there that was the gift that everybody gave everybody. Well, guess what? That has leveled off. And now if you start looking at the numbers, yes, I think ebooks, every book that I publish, we come out with a companion ebook. You have to have it, and a lot of people prefer it. But books, the tangible printed and bound version, they're not going anywhere, in at least in my lifetime, and that's very, very important to me.
Yeah, boy.
Years in the future, I don't know, but for the next, at least the next 20, 30 years, our books, there's too many people like you and I that we love the smell, we love the textural quality. I mean, you curl up and have a glass of wine and read something wonderful. That's an experience.
That's it. That's a perfect way to end this. You are selling experiences, and I love that. 20 years, that's amazing. And you got to go to the website, folks. Go to brownbooks.com, and you can learn more about Millie and everything that she's done. Millie, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Thank you for inviting me. It was fun.
Thanks. It was fun. Thanks, Millie.
Alrighty. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here is what one doctor has to say about Extendovite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right, to fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work. We can just put them on your product and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens and dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them, and what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. The yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect, and most of the other herbs in there I find that strengthen the the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your RIM is close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.